You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to raise up Christ followers in our families and in our communities. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live out your faith in all that you do.
Like I said earlier, over these past few weeks, we've been working through this series, asking the question, what is worship? And the first week, we just looked at worship in general. Last week, we looked at praise and how we praise in worship. And what we've seen, whether it's worship in general, whether it's praise, and what we'll see today with prayer is that it's not about what we do for God. It's not about the praises that we sing to Him. It's not about the works that we do, but it's about what God has done and is doing for us, that God gives, and that we receive those gifts, and then we respond. And again, that's true in general. That's true when we sing praises, and it's true when we pray, because prayer is a response. It's a response to God's gifts. Part of prayer is thanking and praising Him for all that He's done. But even in those hard prayers, those prayers where we're asking for something and it feels like we're not getting an answer, it's still a gift that we can turn to a Father, turn to a Creator who loves us, to be able to speak with Him, to be invited, even encouraged, to have communication and conversation with Him. And not only that, to be shown how to do it. Jesus, when He was talking to His disciples in what's called the Sermon on the Mount, He says, when you pray, pray like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. And so the words that we pray are a gift. But what if we can't even form the words? What then do we do? Well then God prays for us. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we don't know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes with us with groanings too deep for words. So even when we fall silent, or even when we turn in on ourselves and our prayers become selfish because they're about what we want and what we think we need and not really thinking about those around us, or when we don't know how to pray or what to pray for, the Spirit is already speaking for us. Sometimes we even choose not to pray. We hold back our prayers because we're afraid we won't say it right, or we won't ask it in the right way, or we won't get the words in the right order. But that, again, makes prayer about me doing it right, about me saying it right, about me asking for the right thing. But prayer isn't about getting it right. Prayer is about being drawn into a relationship with a God who loves us and gives us this gift of prayer, drawing us into communion with Him and with one another. And Jesus gives us the words to pray, and He doesn't say, my Father or your Father. How does He start His prayer? Okay, I'll ask you the question, you respond. How does He start that prayer? Our Father. Right before that, Jesus is talking against the Pharisees who stand up and make prayers all about them. And so He says, go into a room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and He'll hear you in secret. And then He goes on to say, pray like this: Our Father. And so there's a time for prayer to be personal and prayer to be just me and Jesus. And prayer is meant to be communal. We're invited to pray together as one family, one body, one voice. And we read about that and the way that the early church did that as they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers. Right? They devoted themselves to praying together. Right? This is what they prioritized. They prioritized gathering together, learning, eating together, and praying. Prayer wasn't a side note. It wasn't something that they just did as a last-ditch effort if nothing else was working. It wasn't something that they only did with the big things. But prayer was central, and it was communal. So how are we doing? How do you think we are doing as a body here at Trinity? How well do we as a congregation prioritize and participate in praying together? But I know we have faithful individuals, faithful prayer warriors who are praying for others each and every day, but as a body, I think if we're honest, praying together is something that we struggle with. Prayer events that we have aren't well attended. My service of silence and prayer that I do on Mondays, sometimes it's just me, so it's really silent. The monthly prayer gathering that we have for Luhai has a few that attend. When I ask someone to lead prayer at a meeting, especially if it's something that I haven't asked them ahead of time to write it out, that request is often met with fear or annoyance rather than joy, that we get to take our cares and our needs together before the Father. And then when we do pray, we tend to keep our prayers private, right? Or we wait until we get into the hospital. But even then, if we want someone to pray for us when we're in the hospital, then we have to share our circumstances with them. And that's scary. And what about the little things, right? We often act like we can handle those on our own without prayer. That maybe God is too busy for my little need. Or maybe he doesn't care about this part in my life because he's got bigger things to care about. And so if we were to compare ourselves with the early church in Acts 2, I think we might be considered a congregation that is devoted to teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread, but maybe not to prayer as they were, which means we're missing out. We're missing out on the gifts that God has for us. Not the gifts that God has for me, but the gifts that God has for us. Remember those same disciples who just heard, it's been a few years, but had just heard Jesus teach on how to pray, just heard the Lord's Prayer, they devoted themselves to prayer. It wasn't just something that happened on the side, it was woven into the rhythm of their life. And that picture that we get in Acts chapter 2, it's not just a snapshot of something that happened 2,000 years ago, but it's a picture of what is possible today. It's not just a gold standard that only the early church was able to live up to, but it's a spirit-shaped community where prayer was at the center. What if that were us? What if Trinity were known as a place and a church that prays together, where prayer isn't limited to the worship service, but it shows up in homes, in meetings, in hallways, at school drop-off lines, over coffee, or in your neighborhoods? Because prayer shapes community. It deepens relationships. It builds trust. It centers us on Jesus. And it changes how we see each other. Not through judgment, but through grace. And here's the exciting part. The early church did not have more God than we do today. The early church doesn't have more spirit than we do today. The same spirit that moved in them moves in us today. We have the same promises, the same presence, the same power, and the same gifts here today, as they did 2,000 years ago. Just like praise, prayer is a gift that God gives, and we receive, and then we respond. And our prayers are anchored in the greatest gift that God has ever given, with his Son on the cross and the empty tomb. Right? Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, we have access to the Father. The blood of Jesus opens the way. The author of Hebrews writes that, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy places in the blood of Jesus, let us draw near, let us pray. pray together with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. At the cross, your sins, our sins, including our prayerlessness, are forgiven. And then from the cross, Jesus invites us to come boldly before him at the throne of grace. And so today I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you to pray with others. If you're already doing it, grow in your prayer with others. And if you're not already doing it, start praying with others. Whether it's with your spouse or your kids or a friend or in the grocery store or in the hallway or in a parking lot, make prayer a normal part of your life. So general, I want to challenge you to pray with others. But specifically, I want to invite you in 8 days. Monday, August 18th is back to school night here at Trinity. And we want to take time to pray for this school. And so as families are walking through the building to meet their teachers and to drop off supplies, we want to cover this place with prayer. And so I invite you to join us next Monday from 5 to 6:30 to pray for students, to pray for teachers, to pray for the staff, to pray for the Spirit to move in this school and in this community. Come anytime between 5 and 6:30, whether it's for 5 minutes or 90 minutes, but there will be a prayer card for you where you can pray for specific things or you can just pray as the Spirit leads. But let's pray together. But I also want to remind you that this is not one more thing to add to your to-do list. It's an invitation. Jesus is already praying for you. The Spirit is already interceding for you with groanings too deep for words. And they just invite you to receive the gift and then to respond to it. So let's join them together in prayer. Prayer is a gift. Praise is a gift. Worship is a gift. Life together in Jesus is a gift. Gift after gift after gift that God gives, we receive, and then we respond. Sometimes that response is great praise. Sometimes that response is silence. Sometimes that response is a prayer so deep that words aren't even formed. But still, the Spirit prays for you. Jesus prays for you. So you are never praying alone. So come. Let's receive what God gives. Respond in trust and be a people of prayer together. Amen? Amen.